it's time to take off on the Award Travel 101 podcast. Helping you maximize your travel rewards, no matter your destination or budget. Now here are your hosts, Award Travel 101 community managers, Angie Sparks and Joseph Petrovic, to help you do extraordinary things on ordinary money.
Did you know that more award space has been popping up than what we've seen in years? Rather than spending hours per trip searching on your own, let Thrifty Traveler Premium's army of flight analysts do the work for you with their customized premium alerts.
Whether using miles or points, or you're just looking for a cheap cash flight, Thrifty Traveler Premium will send customized alerts just for you from your selection of home airports, like 43,000 round trip to Japan. Want business class instead? They have you covered there too for 60,000 points one way. Other examples include Emirates Lie Flat Business to Athens for 62,000 points, Air France KLM Business Class to Europe and North Africa for 30,000 points, and even their brand new Nerd Alert feature for unique first-class service like Etihad Apartments or Qatar First Class.
So if you want more premium deal award alerts sent straight to your inbox, head on over to thriftytraveler.com and use promo code AT101 for $10 off your first year. And we're back for episode 47 of the Award Travel 101 podcast. I'm joined this week by my co-community managers, Joe Petrovic and Allison Caraway. Happy holidays.
Happy Festivus.
Happy holidays, guys.
Is it really Happy Festivus?
Yeah. Is Festivus happy? We're about to find out.
I don't know. It's the airing of the grievances. So we're going to do things up a little bit differently. First of all, this is the first time all three of us have been on the podcast. We've all been on it, you know, in with each other or with other people, but this is the first time for the three of us. So this is kind of fun. And if I'm not mistaken, this may be the last episode of the year. So this is a full year of us doing the podcast. Is that right?
It's closing in on a year. We'll actually have one more episode that drops before year's end, but this will be the last year with us on the podcast. I'll have a special guest for the final episode of the year. And yeah, we're closing in a year, episode 2, which will be January 26th or something. That will be our full year of the podcast. So we're closing in on 50 episodes here, and it's been a lot of fun having members, you know, getting to chat about things that members love talking about in the Award Travel 101 community.
It's been fun. So we're going to mix up the order of things as well. We're going to have our post of the week later on because it ties right in with our highlight feature of the week. So we're going to get into the news first. Allison, tell us about our big news that we had.
We have over 100,000 members in the Award Travel 101 group now, actually up to almost 103,000 now. And we had a huge drawing where our grand prize winner won 100,000 Hyatt points as the giveaway prize, which is pretty excellent.
That's crazy.
Yes. Joe, you drew the names. Who was our winner again?
It was Michelle Laird, and she's been a member. We had a nice diversity of all of the members who've been longtime members, as well as some more recent adds to the community. So there was a nice display of members that won prizes in the drawing. But Michelle Laird won the grand prize drawing, which was 100,000 World of Hyatt points and a guest of honor booking, which I offered, but she said that her sister is also a globalist. So she just said, transfer me the points and I'll take care of it with her later.
That's funny. I had a one-on-one session with her last week. It was right after she had found out she won. And I'm like, where are you going to use them? She goes, oh my gosh, I don't know. She was very excited about it. So that was pretty cool. And we had a bunch of people. They won one-on-one consultations. They got some free membership into our Award Travel 201. Quite a few of them got Award Wallet Plus subscriptions. So, you know, anytime we have a drawing, you never know what you're going to win. And it's open to everybody. So keep an eye on things. Moving on to trip updates. I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm depressed. I have nothing. So we'll just move right along. Allison, tell us about your trips.
So I keep saying I also have nothing, but we both have something because I'm coming to Tampa to see you at the end of January.
I know. I'm excited.
I keep forgetting because I booked it in British Airways. It's an American Airlines flight, and this is how I book nearly all my American flights. But usually I immediately go and put my AA number on it. I pick my seat. It shows up in the AA app. And I have not done that yet with these flights. And I keep forgetting I even have them booked. So I really need to get on that.
Yes, you want to get your free main cabin extra seat and all that fun stuff because it's going to be, I don't know, it's a busy weekend. Lots of people flying in here that weekend. So we're going to have fun. All right. Yeah. So Joe, let us live vicariously. What do you have going on?
What should I do about Australia?
Go, since I can't go.
We're 90 days away. And is it worth going for just 2 days? It's a 17 and a half hour flight there from Houston. So I booked this back in April when the whole team was notified by JT Genter's post in Award Wallet about the space to Australia is what we thought it was originally, but it turned out to be pretty much wide open space anywhere. A lot of open business class. I booked Cleveland to Houston to Sydney on a 787-9 Dreamliner. It's booked again from Houston to Sydney for 17 and a half hours block. So gate to gate, 17 and a half hours. I would arrive at 7 a.m. in the morning, and just over 48 hours later, I would have to get on a plane, which I have Delta One suites booked on an A350-900 coming home for 95,000 sky miles. 2 nights booked at the Hyatt Regency Sydney using a suite upgrade award. Did not book at the Park Hyatt because I know that's what everybody else is going to talk about is, you know, the Park Hyatt and the Opera House and all that. And I said, that's too expensive for my blood. So Hyatt Regency it was for 30,000 points. And then I have a quick 2 hour connection. If I do all this, 2 hours to clear customs in LA and get over from Delta terminal to United's terminal to end up making it home. So would listeners do this? Would they go and do all of this stuff, or would they save their 250,000 points to do something else? What would you do?
Well, I would save my 250,000 points if it was just for 2 days, but I've got it booked for 2 weeks and I'm probably going to be canceling it because I've got that same United flight. We were on the same flight, I think even the same day, flying down there, but I am staying at the Park Hyatt. I have 2 nights booked there. That was a whole sign-up bonus on an ink card just for 2 nights. And then I've got a flight home coming back, I think April 1st, I want to say, on American, because I jumped in on the last time when American had a big, you know, kind of dump. So I got it wasn't quite the steal that a bunch of other people got because they were able to get like 60,000 from Sydney to LAX. But I was able to get it all the way back to Tampa for 100,000 points. I'm probably going to have to cancel it. And it makes me very, 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 very sad. But that's 2 weeks. I'd go for 2 weeks. I'm not going for 2 days. That's too far. I don't like flying that much.
I've heard a couple of people, and one of the people that sticks out in my mind was Greg Davis Keene from Frequent Miler, talked about how he had 1 day in China. And he did like a special fare. It was like $400 round trip in business class or something. And had 1 day in China and then flew back home and said what an amazing experience that was and how, you know, it was something because of this community through travel rewards and loyalty programs and all the deals we talk about that he said, this isn't something I would have done any other way. And of course, part of it was an error on his calculation as to losing the fact that you lost a day because you're flying over there and he thought he was going to have an extra day and realized that somewhere along the way after he booked, he's like, I can't get it, you know, any other day. So I have exactly a full 24 hours there, but thinking is 48 hours enough to get a taste? Because I know my wife does not want to go to Australia. That's one thing that's in the back of my mind. And, you know, these points aren't getting more valuable either. So, you know, I
that's true.
Them that's for something. True. So.
And my P2 doesn't really want to go there either. And like you said, we've got friends that are going the same time. I don't know. It's hard. It's just this dumb house. That's what's killing me.
All right. I think it's a really good time for you to go because other people will be there. Like, they're just points. Burn them. You can make more. Like, that's why Mike is going with his wife on this same trip, because I was like, Mike, they're just points. You can make more. I think you should go. Even though it's crazy and it's so short, you should go.
Yeah, and there's some time travel involved too. So it would be leaving on a Friday, getting in on a Sunday, and then leaving on a Tuesday afternoon and arriving back in the States on a Tuesday morning. So yeah. That's always fun stuff too. So
is it really though? Is it really fun? I don't know about that. When I see these people, they're like, oh, I'm going to fly to this place for one day and then I'm going to move on. I'm like, I don't like flying that much. I mean, I enjoy it and I sure like, you know, being in a lie-flat seat way more than I would be in an economy, but I don't know. That's really far. I don't know. I got to think about it. I haven't canceled it yet. That's one of those, I'm probably going to wait until the last possible second before I actually pull the trigger and have to cancel it. So, moving on. How about bonuses? What'd y'all get?
So, I just told Joe you could always make more points, and I am like not making points very quick because I haven't got a new card for like 3 or 4 months. Like,
oh my gosh, why?
Well, right before Bali, I was like, I should get a new card and take on the trip. And then I decided I didn't have enough time in between. And so I got home and like got all settled back in and started thinking about cards. And I was like, oh, my Rio trip's in a week. I should get a new card to take on the trip. And then I didn't do it again. And now here we are like rolling into December and it's been like 4 months since I've got a new card.
Yeah, so. you're missing all these holiday gifts and things. You don't have a card for it.
It's crazy. What have you got? I know you're on a roll with cards still.
A couple. So I have finished the spending on our new business platinum. I was sitting there doing the math today and I've got like 3 pending charges. And once those pending charges post, I will have hit it. My bank account bonus is fully funded. So once the 60 days are up on that, I think I've got 50 more on it or something like that. Between the bank account and the credit card and the doing both of them, I'm going to get another 220,000 membership rewards points, which is kind of nice. I'm very, very flush with those. I noticed today that my account, because this is on P2's account, that my account has ticked over 7 digits. I need to be burning some points here. So, yeah. So I'm a millionaire. Never thought I'd say it. Additionally, we are probably halfway through the Chase Inc. Unlimited that he got. They gave him a really, really tiny credit limit. So it's kind of one of those, I'm having to cycle it a little bit to be able to pay for everything. But now the fact that I'm done with the Amex Platinum card, I can take the Ink card and use that for all the rest of my shopping. I've had it on Amazon, so that's taken care of most of the gifts that we're doing. So that'll be good. That'll be over soon. But I've got all these house expenses that are coming up. I've got a painter coming in on Thursday, which I really, really, really hope that he will take a credit card. And so I'm probably going to need another one soon. So I need to start looking. I would really like an elevated sign-up bonus on a Sapphire since I've downgraded my CSR and I now need to plump up my Chase balance since my membership rewards balance is so big. So
I think folks should definitely be watching those Ink cards too. And if you have the opportunity to get that while these bonuses are high, we're going to talk about some of the less than fun things that have happened in 2023 coming up. But this is one that, you know, while there are these elevated bonuses, members and listeners should definitely jump on while they still have these higher than normal bonus offers.
Yeah, I just told a member today that he was like, he listed like all the cars. He goes, what should we get next? I'm like, you're under 524, get another Ink. He's like, but we already have them. Like, it doesn't matter. You can have as many of them as Chase will give you. Just get another one. You take advantage of this huge sign-up bonus on a free card. So I don't know if he's going to, but they won't give me another one, I'm sure. So otherwise, I might give it a try. How about you? Anything good, Joe?
I'm still working on that business platinum offer I talked about last time. It was 150,000 bonus point targeted, no lifetime limit offer. And I will be within the next 2 weeks finishing that off. And I'm contemplating doing the other targeted. I had 2 of these that I was targeted for. One was targeted way back earlier in the year, and it was good through 12/31. So I'm thinking about maybe taking advantage because I'm burning through this minimum spend a little faster than I had expected that I was going to. And I see an opportunity to do 150,000 bonuses and then triple dip the card with the Dell credits. But I'm going to have to make that decision here pretty soon because we don't want to wait and find out the credits roll into next year.
Yeah. Yeah, Dell especially, because they can be kind of slow on shipping and posting things. So I would do that. Allison, tell everybody about our highlight feature. This was Allison's idea. We're going to let her lead off.
This is an awesome idea.
It is an awesome idea.
All right. Our highlight feature today, an airing of the grievances. So this is
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus. We're airing on December 22nd. It's a day early compared to the actual date of Festivus, which is the 23rd. Festivus, if you have not heard of it or ever seen Seinfeld, is like a made-up holiday to celebrate in an alternative way because you're feeling the pressures and commercialism of the Christmas holiday season. Which I totally get. I have not done any Christmas shopping yet this year.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I have not drove around and looked at Christmas lights. I am like really not on top of things this year. In the sitcom Seinfeld, if you watch that show back in the 90s, it was a really fun show. They put their own spin on Festivus, including the airing of the grievances, which consists of each person lashing out at others and the world about how they've been disappointed in the past year. I've got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about it. So we've had a lot of problems with some of these award travel programs that we're all using every day in and out with our points and miles. So we're going to run through and highlight some of the negative changes this year that have impacted us the most.
Back in January.
Yeah, 25 different things we've targeted here. So quite a bit to get through.
We did run a poll in the group. This was our post of the week as well. And in that poll, we asked people what impacted them the most. And we got our top 4 or 5 out of that as well that we'll mention as we go through. So starting in January, we had an increase to the price of Clear. And since then, another increase. In January, we used to all get that discount through either Delta or United, where Clear would cost $109. You could add an extra family member on for another $50 or $60. And then your Platinum Clear credits would cover all of that. That discount from United and Delta went away starting in January. And since then, if you have family members on your account as well, your Amex Plat Clear credit doesn't cover the whole amount. So,
yeah, $99 for each member. So the one thing for me that came away with, you know, almost $200 just for having my dad and my wife on it.
Wow. Luckily, I have quite a few cards that have a Clear credit. So I think I'll be safe for a while. It's that whole multiple business platinum card thing that we've got going on over here. Anything else?
I have 2 cards that have a Clear credit on it, and I really need to split my Clear and P. Drew's Clear apart so that the cards will cover both of ours. I didn't do that this year, and it cost me a little out of pocket to have that Clear benefit still. Also in January, we had an Emirates devaluation where their award chart devalued by 20% or so.
Yeah, their awards got more expensive, and we certainly, you know, I was thankful about this one because I was trying to get that Fifth Freedom flight that I was taking with my dad coming home from Europe this past summer. And luckily, they gave a little bit of advance notice on this one, and it didn't hit right away. But the business class back from Milan, it was Milan to JFK, was 87.5 now. I was 72.5 when I was able to get it booked. So thankfully, I got it in just before those rates.
In February, we had the death of the Etihad guest suite spots. Does this affect anybody?
Yeah, I'm still stuck with 50,000 miles. I actually had 100,000 miles because one of the awesome things that you could do with this is you could fly flagship first on the A321Ts, transcontinental American Airlines flight. And most people would be like, well, why would I want to fly on a, you know, regular plane that flies domestically? This plane flew across the entire country. It was like a business class flight on their 777s. So you had flagship business, but it was a one by one. So you had the entire side as one seat rather than like the economy section where there was three. And the other cool things, it gave you access to their flagship, what used to be flagship lounges in JFK. Now it's the Chelsea Lounge and some of the other ones. So you can get first class lounge service at the lounges there in JFK. So now it's like triple to quadruple the cost. In March, we had a couple of things that happened that month, and it just seemed like the news kept piling up. We had Marriott Ends Points Advance. Was that something either of you used?
Never.
I never used it, but I could definitely understand the benefits of it because you could book some of their highest level resorts without having the points in your account yet and snag those award rooms when availability opened up.
Then we had Virgin, no notice, ANA devaluation, which was a lot of people were less than happy about, but there were so many people that had booked. ANA had opened up, I think they dropped a lot of award space, and a bunch of people jumped on the first and business class flights. And I think it became a lot more prominent when that happened, how many people were using Virgin points. So they raised some of the awards, not all of them. I mean, it was first class got more expensive and business class from the East Coast got a little bit more expensive. But if you were flying from the West Coast, I don't believe there were really any changes to business class, at least. I think it was just your first class cabins became a little bit more expensive. Next was Brex. And this is something that most of us got shut down anyways if we had Brex cards and accounts. So all of our Brex accounts were closed down. But for anyone who still had a Brex account, they had no notice devaluation on their points. And the final thing in the month of March was that Alaska, following in the path of Virgin, also did a no notice devaluation on JAL awards. So if you were flying over to Tokyo or anywhere that you could fly on the Alaska award chart, you're now spending more miles. I think it was anywhere between 20 and 100% increase in cost if you were flying a JAL award, depending on if it was economy, business, or first, and what regions of the world you're flying in. But, you know, best case scenario was that it was going to be about 20% more expensive.
No impact, but I've definitely had my eye on that flight. And I even got some Alaska cards just to try and build up my balance for this particular flight. So now I'll just have to get another card and build it up and even more.
There you go. There's the card that you can get.
Yes.
I guess the positive side of this has nothing to do with Alaska, but it's that American Airlines still is now, hasn't changed theirs and is the better deal of the two in most of the scenarios.
So moving into May, we have AA, which introduced their dynamic pricing, eliminating all of their award charts and what they typically had as saver space. So they pretty much have dynamic pricing now since this change. And there are some fares that are labeled as saver, and those are what you need to look for if you want to be able to book with partners. You would think this one would have a pretty big impact on me because I'm here in an American Airlines hub, but so far I have been pretty lucky to be able to find those lowest saver rates and still book through British Airways like I always had in the past. I think my Rio flight, the economy flight down there that was 42,000 miles in economy, is probably the worst I've done since this change came into effect.
But have you done better? Are there things that you've done better with, though?
No. No. Probably want to edit this part out. I always just book through BA if there's saver space. We also, in May, had United make major award chart devaluations. So United raised all of their pricing. It used to be 60,000 miles in business class to Europe on United. Now it's 88 or so, I believe, or 80,000. They raised their economy to 30,000 from 30,000 miles in economy to 40,000 miles in economy to get to Europe. So overall, just some bad news for United here, and you need a lot more miles to get anywhere with their program.
That one hurts a little bit because I'm probably the only person in this little chat right here who I use my Chase points to book United flights because living in a non-hub city, I can often find something like, you know, on one of their partners or whatnot. So it's gone from, you know, being able to book a partner for 60,000 points. Now it's up to, I think it was 80,000 on a United flight. Now it's 88,000. It's definitely gone up. And I've got local friends who they're always asking me to help them book stuff. And it's not quite as pretty as it used to be. So yeah, that one's kind of on the painful side.
Yeah, if you were booking business class on United Metal, it was 60,000 miles before and 66,000 if you had partner award space. So if there was a partner included on the ticket, it was, you know, a little bit more, it was 10% more expensive. But now it's, you know, 80,000 and 88,000 miles. So it's pretty significant increase. And this didn't just impact the flight that, you know, we talk about as more aspirational. These are affecting your everyday domestic economy awards. You used to have short 400 to 600 mile range flights. So for me, like Cleveland to DC, that was a 10,000 mile award. And now they're charging these same things, you know, Cleveland to DC or LAX to Las Vegas. That used to be 10,000 mile awards. They're now charging 15,000 miles. So, you know, you definitely want to use partners. This is something where you have like Air Canada, Aeroplan, or Lof Miles, where those can be 6,000, 6,500 miles versus your 15,000 United miles.
Luckily, the month of June was kind to us. There wasn't anything. We have no grievances with the month of June. I guess everybody was on vacation, so they weren't busy tweaking things. But July, they came back. And we had the AA and JetBlue breakup. We had Cathay Pacific Asia Miles devaluations coming on October 1st. Which I'm guessing that happened. Finnair devalues the Finnair Plus award redemptions and they added new surcharges. But Allison, most importantly, MGM and Hyatt announced their breakup.
Yep, this was our number one grievance in the poll that we put out in the group. Everyone is most upset about MGM and Hyatt breaking up.
This affects you a lot too, right?
Yeah, like I don't know if I'll be able to retain globalist status next year without this. It probably just won't be worth my while because when MGM and Hyatt were partners, you could book a super cheap stay at like some of the less quality casinos, we'll say, the Excalibur, the Luxor, and be able to earn Hyatt night credits on very cheap nights. Because you could get nights for like an average of $5 a night at on weekdays. So easily add up to some Hyatt nights.
Yeah, I think I had a few that were, I had like $13, $14 for a 5-night stay. And, you know, when you tack that on and say, hey, for $15, you were able to generate a bunch of elite night credits for the World of Hyatt program. Definitely a less expensive way to do so than necessarily going to, you know, your local Hyatt place and spending even at 3,500 points, you know, at their low off-peak season rates, 3,500 points. Or typically, you know, those types of hotels were going between $100 and $150 a night versus $3 a night.
And the status benefits between the two, you could status match back and forth. And that allowed you to not have to pay the resort fees at MGM casinos. So people without status, they may have a $3 room rate, but they have to pay $40 in resort fees. But with our status, we could get these rooms this cheap and just keep adding on to our Hyatt nights very easily.
Definitely ruins status match merry-go-round that was already kind of broken up last year, or maybe it was the year before, getting more difficult. But this is going to ruin it for a lot of people for sure. And I'm kind of curious how a lot of folks will play with this as MGM partners with Marriott, because I've heard that that has been That partnership was expected to have started October 1st, got delayed into early January 2024. And I've heard through the grapevine that it's going to be delayed further yet again. So we'll see kind of where that goes. So after all of those fun things in July, we move on to August, and Amex Platinum comes out and axes the valuable authorized user benefits and increases the minimum spending requirement to earn the bonus. Does this affect either one of you?
It does not affect me because we don't have any AUs on our Amex Platinum anymore. We did when we first got the card, but I know we asked the, you know, our team who it did, and both Eric Holly and Mike Zacchio, that's big for them. They definitely have had the authorized users on their cards, you know, for lounge access and all that fun stuff and all the other benefits. And now with the increase in price, it's not quite, it's pretty painful.
No impact for me here. I even spent $75,000 on my Amex Platinum last year, just like business expenses and buyers groups and that kind of stuff. But I haven't even been in the Centurion Lounge since then. I just go to Capital One. So this hasn't affected me, although you'd think it would.
Well, and you were waiting, Joe, to add your kids, weren't you, as AUs once they hit the age, right?
Yeah,
your daughter.
It did impact me a bit. And that was, you know, it came out just 2 months before she turned 13. So she will not be an authorized user on that card, at least not as a platinum authorized user, maybe a fee-free somewhere down the road.
All right, moving on to September. This one was ranked pretty highly in our poll within the group. A lot of people were upset about the Citi AA executive card changes. So in September, that card got a higher annual fee, and they also raised the fee for all of the AU cards on that, which were incredibly useful for AU access into American Airlines Club. Did this impact either of you?
Yeah, this one's a painful one for me. I am an authorized user on a friend of mine's card, and it used to be that you could pay your annual fee on this card, and you got up to like 10 free authorized users, and everybody was able to take their card and get into the Admirals Club, and you could bring a guest or two, obviously only when you're flying AA. And now you have to pay for every one of those authorized users. I don't use the Admirals Club that many times that I'm willing to pay $175, I think, a year to have that card. And I even think my friend, she's not going to keep the main card because she doesn't want to pay the additional fee with the increase. So yeah, that one's painful. I'm going to lose my Admirals Club access because of that.
I have the antithesis to this particular one because I did not hold this card, or nor was I an authorized user on this card, but they had 100,000 mile signup bonus when they went to the new card offer. And on top of that, it also gives you 10,000 loyalty points and another 10,000 loyalty points once you hit certain levels of status. So this actually helped me not only get 100,000 extra American miles, but it gave me some extra loyalty points towards status and made my journey towards requalification a little bit easier.
Well, aren't you lucky?
I think you're the only one who likes
these
changes.
You're the only one.
Let's see. Also in September, we have the Delta program changes, and people were mad about these.
Oh my gosh.
I am not a Delta flyer, so I don't really even understand a lot of these other than they're moving to a system kind of like Americans, where you could just like spend your way there. You don't have to have flight miles or segments or MQDs, or you just have to spend or on a Delta flight or on their credit cards. And the spend amounts have become just really huge to earn status. They also changed lounge benefits for the worse, and everyone has just been up in arms. They actually rolled back some of these changes and pulled back a little, and they were like, okay, we went too far. But I don't fly Delta, so not much impact on me.
Yeah, I only fly probably, I don't know, once a year or something like that, and I'll still be able to use my Amex Platinum card to get into the Sky Club. I mean, it's going to be limited the number of times that you can do that in a year, but again, I fly them like once a year, so I think I'm covered.
And I think Angie and I talked about this in a previous episode along the way, is that many of us who are playing this game the way we are have multiple platinum or business platinum cards. So we have more than enough opportunities to gain entrance should we actually need it.
So in October, we had the war on award tools. This is when Aeroplan went back to like seats.aero. And I don't know if they went to the other ones and gave them a cease and desist order to stop, you know, trying to search for award tools and notify award flights and notify, you know, their subscribers about it. I haven't seen any impact on that. I guess that lawsuit's still going on. So I'm still using seats.aero. There was also the Amex started something in September with the Delta language on their cards. And then it trickled down to their everyday cards in October, where if you had this flavor of the everyday card, you couldn't get the other flavor of the everyday card. What made it even worse, though, then was that they added the family language, which is not even in a family. And I ranted about this on a prior, I aired my grievance on a prior episode that if you have a platinum card, you're not eligible to get a sign up bonus on a gold card now, which is silly because they complement each other. They are not in the same family. It's silly. I don't like it. It's dumb.
And this affected you, Allison, if I recall correctly. P. Drew was trying to get the card as well.
Yeah, the gold card was probably going to be one of the next cards on P. Drew's list because he hasn't had it yet. And this language rolled out. And there were actually some referral links that had not been updated within the first day or so. And I was like, try one of those. But then he's in Amex jail to go with. So,
Oh, no.
So not only was it gold family language, it was also the platinum. You couldn't have multiple flavors of platinum. You could only have one. You couldn't get a vanilla platinum. You couldn't also pair it with a Charles Schwab platinum if you already had that, or the Morgan Stanley, right?
Yep. So that's the one that got me. I don't have my own personal gold as well. I'm an AU on P2's gold card, and we don't have a need to have two of them. So that doesn't really bother me. But I had every intention of getting a Schwab version of the platinum card. And I delayed too much. And I did the same thing that Peter tried to do. I found one link that was still out there that didn't exclude it. And I tried to apply and like got the lovely pop-up. Nope, sorry. You can't get the sign-up bonus if you have a regular vanilla platinum card. So, I mean, I could get the card, but I've got to forego a sign-up bonus if I do it. And I'm not really willing to do that right now. So yes, that's another womp womp for me.
As I look at these, the one that impacted me the most actually was the war on award tools, because it wasn't seats.aero, but it was Expert Flyer. So Expert Flyer got its knees chopped off in October when they lost all the Star Alliance carriers, the entire Star Alliance set of teams and all partners with United. So there's suspicions out there that they were scraping United. And because all the partners that they lost are tied to United partners and searches that United was capable of doing. But the fact is that I use those a lot for setting alerts for saver space and things like that on different star carriers, and not being able to find any of them was a huge loss for me.
Yeah, that tool has kind of become pretty useless at this point now. I ended up unsubscribing from it and canceled my auto renew when it came due and haven't missed it. So I don't know how it's going to stick around, because they're just losing carriers right and left and left and right. They don't have a whole lot left on there that you can track.
Moving on, we're almost to the end of the year. November, Southwest is going to increase the cost of the award. The cash price and the award price closely track, and they're going to increase the cost. Now, if you're already tying the points value to the cash cost, why do they need to raise the cost of the points? If the cash cost goes up, the award cost goes up. So why do they need to make those less? It doesn't make any sense to me. And then, of course, Hyatt made a lot of news with revamping their program. They came up with some new milestone benefits that surpassed 100. And perhaps the biggest decrease to the program, or negative to the program, that I think we mentioned in a past episode, was that the guest of honor benefit was going to be limited to some extent. We have received update that if you were looking to do a guest of honor in a traditional manner, that at least for 2024, you will still have unlimited guest of honors through points. You do have to call in, but your ability to give those away or, you know, to give somebody a guest of honor on cash is going to be limited to just 5 throughout the year once you obtained that milestone benefit. And any impact for either of you?
Well, as long as I still have friends. Hi, friends.
Hi.
Who'll do a guest of honor booking for me? It doesn't impact me. Hi, friends.
So I rarely use this except for my friends like Angie. I haven't made a whole lot of guest of honor bookings, but there's actually, to go along with the negative, there is some positive in that guest of honor can be used on cash bookings going forward. And also the globalist who makes the guest of honor will also receive Elite Knight credit off of it going forward. So even though losing the unlimited guest of honor ability is pretty sad for a lot of people, especially bigger families, I could see this be a huge impact if they usually get multiple rooms. There are a couple upsides to it.
How about the Southwest thing? Do you see any pain in suffering from that, or is it just not that big of a deal?
Yeah, 4% seems so small, especially compared to some of the other ones we ran through above. Like one of those was 100% increase on, let's see, I think it was one of the Alaska awards or one of the United things. I don't remember.
Alaska on JAL. I think you were looking at a inter-Asia, I think like Singapore to Tokyo or something was up 100%.
Yeah, 4% increase on Southwest doesn't feel like much. Although it might be cheaper if someone has a CSR, it'll cost less points to book through the Chase portal versus transferring those same points over to Southwest. And if you were to book through the Chase portal, which we often don't recommend in case there's problems, it's a little harder to fix. But if you were to book through the Chase portal, it would look like a cash booking to Southwest. So you would earn points off of it, and you would also earn like the segment credit for A-list and stuff.
But of course, the negative there is that there's a limitation to what the cheapest flight to Chase portal will show. I think it's like $79. So if you have one of these $29 flights, you're not going to be able to book it for, you know, 2,000 ultimate rewards through this ultimate rewards portal. You're going to be paying whatever their minimum fare price is, which I believe, again, is $79.
I didn't realize that part of it. I haven't tried to book one yet, so we'll see what happens when I go to get my next Southwest flight. So coming up in December, we had an almost no-notice Virgin Award hikes on Delta. And this will impact Delta partner flights if you're using your Virgin Atlantic miles to book. Even on U.S. domestic flights, the prices are going up on all of these. So a flight that was formerly around 7,500 miles is jumping up, I believe, a flight that would be 8,500 miles is jumping up to 11,000 miles for these domestic flights. So like a 30% increase on even like short flights. It's pretty significant if you use this a lot.
Yeah, that's where I used most of mine is almost all of my Virgin miles prior to the ETA flight that I booked a few months ago for my dad and me next year. But prior to that, all of my Virgin miles were always going to Delta Awards. So this is definitely a hit to me. The only upside is that, again, there are these transfer bonuses that help reduce the pain and suffering from that is, you know, a 30% transfer bonus is going to be a nice way to ease that pain.
See, also in December, Aeroplan updated their terms and conditions. I honestly, like, as soon as I see fine print, I just like blank out and I can't even focus. So you guys are going to have to tell me if this impacts you.
Basically, they threw in some anti-gaming stuff. So their only things that are concerned is that I didn't dig deep into it, but I heard from some other people that this may include things where if you're using a tool like Seats.Aero, that there's some way for them to track. I don't know if it's like the cookies or what, but that they may be able to close your account if you're using one of the tools that they're going after. So that would be my concern with it. But again, I don't know that that's fact. That's just something that I'd heard, you know, floating around.
Seems like it'd be really hard for them to actually, like, track down and do.
They can't even return a phone call. So how?
I know.
They, you know, you call them and they're like, we're sorry, we're very busy. Call back. Click. And they just hang up on you. So I don't know.
You talk about going and ordering something from Saks and you've got 10 Facebook ads that,
right.
You know, so, I mean, obviously it can be done. So,
but can Aeroplan do it? There's the
yes. Let's see. And last but not least, we had this news just a few days ago. People rank this as their number two on the poll that we did. And I don't know if it's just because it was fresh news or if people really are using this as much as I am. This one will impact me quite a bit. It's British Airways raising their prices on partner awards like American and Alaska. And everybody knows that the thing I talk about most and book most is American flights on British Airways. So this is going to be like a direct impact to most of the stuff I'm booking. Domestic flights that were 7,500 miles are going up to 82.5. It's not huge, but it's more than I'd like. Especially since we don't see British Airways transfer bonuses quite as often as like the Flying Blue transfer bonuses or Virgin Atlantic ones.
I know we are way overdue for a British Airways transfer bonus. We are way overdue for one.
Yeah. So both of these got more expensive when you look at Virgin Atlantic with Delta and British Airways with American and Alaska. They both are, I think, similar in their new charts, and they did get more expensive. But the best thing that you can do with that, again, is to hope that you can put some points away with some of these transfer bonuses. Again, we don't typically recommend speculatively transferring these, but if you do happen to have a little bit of excess in something, you know, it might not hurt to have a few of these, especially if it's something you're going to use, like Allison said, on a regular basis, to be able to put some of these away at a increased amount with one of these transfer bonuses.
So I think that wraps up our grievances
25
for the year. 25 of them. So our tip of the week, don't procrastinate. Things change all the time. I could have applied for the Schwab Platinum card the week before they changed. There was no reason that I didn't do it. I just didn't do it. I procrastinated. P. Drew could have applied for the darn gold card, but he didn't do it. Joe lucked out and was able to book his Emirates flight because he knew, found out that this was going to happen, and he was able to get it before it devalued. So don't procrastinate. If you see a card that you want and it's a good offer, apply for it if it fits your strategy. Earn and burn, baby.
Yes, we say it in the group all the time. Earn and burn. And book early, book often.
Yes, you can always make more points.
And change those flights most of the time.
Yeah, there's that. You just make certain that it's a carrier that doesn't charge a whole lot of fees and whatnot to change it. So you're not going to use Life Miles. You're not going to use Aeroplan. You know, those are going to charge big fees. So that wraps up our episode 47. Allison, where can people find us?
Well, you can always find us in our Award Travel 101 community on Facebook, where we have over 100,000 members now. If you're looking for more advanced strategies, you can join our Award 201 subscription community. If you need one-on-one help, you can book an Award Travel one-on-one consult to meet with one of our team members. We can go over award search, health, credit card strategy, and more with you. You can email us at contactawardtravel@gmail.com. And if you're interested in another Festivus practice, the Feats of Strength, you'll have to come witness it in person. Our next meetup is located in San Antonio, Texas. It's in April, but it's sold out. You can get on our wait list, which is posted in our Award Travel group, or check out the event on Eventbrite. So who's gonna meet up with me in the Feats of Strength ring?
I need to guess. I better start getting to the gym and hitting the weights. But we won't have a Festivus poll. We're not going to be bringing that. So Happy holidays, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Take care.
This was fun. Bye.
Bye.